people say this is the end of an era. There are others that say this is the beginning of something new. Maybe you could help explain it.
It's not something to explain. It's something to be experienced. What you're seeing is a symbol of new life. Every regret, every doubt, all washed away forever.
Welcome to At the Movies and Jesus Revolution. Many of us have been praying that today, maybe you or someone close to you would personally experience a Jesus revolution by being baptized into Him. We have everything prepared for you. And at the end of this message, we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you to walk to the front of the auditorium and make the best decision of your life, to be baptized. Our movie today tells the story of Chuck Smith, Lonnie Frisbee, and a young Greg Laurie. It's the story of how rock and roll, radical love, and a newfound faith turned a countercultural movement into a revival that changed the world. Greg, along with a sea of young people, have descended on sunny Southern California in a search for truth and meaning. Greg's been raised by a struggling single mom who is wrestling with her own issues of rejection and addiction. And he wants a different life. He and his friends want to rebel against the chains of culture. And sex, drugs, and rock and roll seem to promise the freedom they're craving. Each of them are searching for something. And as Chuck said, it's not something to be explained. It's something to be experienced. A Jesus revolution, any Jesus revolution, really can't be explained. There's no adequate explanation for how Christianity went from just a handful of disciples to 3,000 people being baptized in one day. There's no adequate explanation for how Christianity outlasted the Roman Empire and then spread across the globe. The revolution of Jesus cannot be explained. It must be experienced. And maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you need to experience a Jesus revolution in your life. In the late 1960s, Chuck Smith, played by Kelsey Grammer, was the pastor of a languishing church. And he just doesn't understand kids these days. He's unsure of the future of society. He's unsure of his place in it. And he finds himself dissatisfied. For him, it's easier to blame his dissatisfaction on other people, on the media, on politics, on the next generation. All of that is easier than to look inside himself for what he might need to change.
Dropping out, the hippies, pot, speed, acid, alcohol seem to take a back seat.
You guys stare at that thing like the world is ending.
I think the world is ending.
Well, I think what they're doing is kind of beautiful.
Honey, are you doing drugs?
No, Mom, I'm not doing drugs. Please stop asking. Look, what I'm saying is that they want peace and love. Isn't that the same thing you want?
I think these kids need help.
What they need is a bath. I don't know if they can be helped.
See, and there's the problem. You're passing judgment on people you know nothing about. You've never even met a hippie.
Thought they didn't talk to squares. Didn't you say I'm square?
Dad, you are the very definition of a square.
I'll tell you what. When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about, because I do not understand.
Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
Where are you going?
To do drugs.
She is your daughter.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Hey.
Need a ride?
Sure.
cool cape.
Right on. I painted it myself.
Yeah.
I'm Lonnie.
I'm Jeanette.
Hey.
Hey. So where are you headed?
Coming down from San Francisco, spreading the good news to whoever wants to hear it. How about you, Jeanette? Do you know about the way, the truth, and the life?
You've got to meet my dad.
Far out. Is he into hippies?
Nope.
Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? My stars.
Hi, Chuck Smith.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Oh, your daughter told me. And when she picked me up.
You tell me right now where my daughter is. Jeanette!
What? Here.
Who is this?
It's Lonnie.
Hi.
Hi. Would you mind just stepping outside for a minute, mister?
Not at all. Frisbee, Lonnie Frisbee.
Frisbee. Thank you.
Sugar by any chance.
What is going on?
You said you wanted God to send you a hippie.
I said that. But I did not mean it.
Dad, I am telling you, there's something about this guy. We talked all night. He pretty much blew my mind.
I spent the night with him? He could be an axe murderer.
Anyone could be an axe murderer. Look, just listen for 10 minutes, and if you think he's crazy, I'll throw him out myself.
This house has a very good vibe. So great to meet you.
I said that, but I did not mean it. That's a phrase all of us have probably thought or said. And I know it's a phrase we have all lived. People are much more committed to the idea of revolution than they are to the work and sacrifice of revolution. I prefer comfort more than I want to change. And if you're honest, so do you. Comfort is the enemy of growth and change. And comfort looks different for each of us. For some of us, the comfort of a career or financial security keeps us from experiencing the freedom God wants for our lives. For some of us, we find comfort in our relationships with our friends and family, yet that comfort keeps us from following God into the growth that will change our life. For some of us, our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups give us comfort, and the unknown journey toward healing and recovery fills us with fear and anxiety. And for a lot of us, life is just comfortable enough that we aren't even really looking for a change. We aren't looking for a revolution. But what if we don't know what we don't know? What if there really is a better life on the other side of a revolution? Now, by better, I don't mean easy. There's a moment in Jesus' ministry where he makes a simple but profound statement about this. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to become my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Here's the thing. Following Jesus comes at a cost. It will make you uncomfortable. Jesus promised that it would. But he also promises to never leave us or forsake us. He not only promises eternal life, he promises an abundant life. He promises us that the life we were created for is the life he came to give us. He said, "I have come so that they may have life and may have it abundantly." Friend, how uncomfortable are you willing to get for that? Well, we'll see how uncomfortable Chuck is willing to get.
So, tell me about yourself, Lonnie. People.
My people. I like the sound of that. You know, it reminds me of the words of Jesus. To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? I was up in San Francisco for a long time, living in Haight-Ashbury, on the streets all over. Man, we did everything. And everyone. But that was the point. You see, drugs. It's a quest.
For what?
For God. How can you not see that? There is an entire generation right now searching for God. Man, we thought acid was going to save the world. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
But that was a lie. As much of a lie as what we were rebelling against.
And what brought you to that realization?
I kept searching and searching, and I just finally got to the end of it. And there was still a void. And my people, well, they're a desperate bunch. And desperation, man, there's power in that word. What would it take for you, Chuck Smith, to be desperate? Jeanette tells me you're a pastor.
Yes. Currently.
I know we must seem pretty strange. But if you look a little deeper, if you look with love, you'll see a bunch of kids that are searching for all the right things, just in all the wrong places. So to answer your question, how do I describe my people? They're sheep without a shepherd, chasing hard after lies. And the trouble is, your people reject them. So I ask you, Pastor, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? We can only walk through doors open to us. And your church? Well, that's a door that's shut.
Desperation is a requirement for revolution. Most of us don't change until the pain of staying the same becomes unbearable. And then we are desperate for anything that will make it better. Desperation pushed a young Greg Laurie further and further into sex, drugs, and the rock and roll culture. The problem was that hippie culture could never deliver what it promised. And that made Greg even more desperate. And he kept spiraling down, chasing after it. Have you ever experienced that feeling? Well, for Chuck, desperation pushed him toward change. He started opening the church and doing whatever it took to make the hippies comfortable, even if it made him uncomfortable. And that change started to have an effect. More and more young people began to show up to church. They started to find freedom in Jesus and a connection and love for each other. They came with different looking clothes, different sounding music, all stemming from a different way of looking at the world. But what held them together was Jesus. Jesus' love for them. Jesus' love for their friends. Jesus' mission in the world. But just like in Jesus' day and just like today, some people were not willing to get that uncomfortable. Some people aren't that desperate for a revolution.
These kids are runaways, most of them. They got drug addictions, medical issues.
And they need our help.
Yeah, but Chuck, I mean, they need to go home. They're making our congregation uncomfortable.
Well, maybe they should be uncomfortable. Maybe we all should. Maybe it's my job to make us uncomfortable. I haven't been doing it.
Chuck, stop. This is enough. This is a house of worship, and yes, we expect a certain level of dignity here. These girls are wearing halter tops, and half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet with their bare feet.
A carpet? Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's be sure to save the carpet.
You keep this up, and you're going to drive away the only contributing members that we've got. You hearing me now?
Loud and clear. So many voices. It's hard to hear the truth.
Truth is always quiet. It's the lies that are loud.
It's complicated.
The truth is simple.
What is going on?
Baptize these feet in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There you go.
Welcome to church.
Hello, you. Let's have that foot, please. This is terrific. Okay. Place them both on that towel and then step on into church. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, young lady. How are you? Let's have that foot. Have that other foot. Why don't you go sit next to that fella in the cantaloupe jacket? Good to see you. Enjoy. Welcome to church.
Thank you.
Hello, young lady.
Last year I had the privilege of visiting New York City. I'm like any good tourist. I paid a visit to the Statue of Liberty, and I read those famous words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. And as I read those words, I thought, well, that's Christianity, isn't it? It's the essence of it. An invitation to the broken. Jesus was very friendly with the outcasts. In Revelation 22, it says, let the one who can hear say, come. Let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the waters of life freely. I want you all to look at me. Please. Every one of you. This place, it is yours. I don't care if anybody else thinks so. I mean, if you feel like you're an outcast, then join us here. If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged, this is where you belong. If you feel ashamed or trapped in something you've done or are doing, you will find forgiveness and freedom right here. No guilt trips. This is your home. And I want you to tell all your friends about it. There is a place for you. Now that door is open all the time. For you, any time of day. And if there are some who don't like that, well, then that door is open for you too. It works both ways.
Pastor, let's begin.
Let's begin.
Hey, Chuck. You're going to need a bigger church.
Well, let's be honest. The reputation of the church is not always great. Too many times, Christians have chosen their own comfort over their neighbor's desperation. And if you and I claim to be followers of Jesus, then that is simply not an option. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus ate with sinners, with prostitutes, and with tax collectors. And even when it made religious people uncomfortable, he chose those people. Jesus healed Gentiles even when it made Jews uncomfortable. Jesus fed the poor even when it made the rich uncomfortable. Jesus sat with the powerful even when the ordinary people misunderstood. And that's how the revolution came. It's how it still comes. When you and I are so committed to following Jesus and experiencing his life that we will give up our own comforts, our own preferences. You see, you don't have to die to save someone from their sins, but you will have to die to yourself and be willing to let Jesus take your life wherever he wants so that someone can believe the same good news that you believe. Now, in the middle of the next scene, there is a baptism celebration in the ocean. And as you watch these people go down under the water, I want you to know that that can be your story today also. Again, we're ready for you today. When we sing at the end of the service, just walk to the front, get your t-shirt, and we'll guide you every step of the way. It's that simple. When we decide to go all in with Jesus, well, then the revolution becomes a movement.
Really, all I got to bring is what the Bible calls the good news.
So, this is what you've been trying to figure out?
In the Gospel of Matthew,
yeah.
Jesus said,
mostly.
Come unto me, all ye that labor.
There's this church. It's called Calvary Chapel.
Take my yoke upon
me. You could come.
Learn from me, for I am
me. Why not? And we say we're looking for truth. What if this is true? Because everything that we've been trying is not working for me. And this, I don't know, it's something I haven't heard before. It's different. Come on.
Jesus also said, "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters." You have to decide for yourself. We all have to decide.
I think I might be real.
That's the problem, Kathy. I just can't be let down again. You know, what I felt in there, I haven't... You know, what if it's another high? What if it's just another drug? You know, it's good for a minute and then it's gone. What then?
We can find out together.
What's just water.
What? Was you saying, why is it going to prove?
Right, it's just water. It's why are you freaking out?
I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out. Okay, I'm freaking out a little bit.
You're going to be fine.
Do you fully accept Jesus Christ? Today you are transformed. Your heart and soul, your life will never be the same. You're welcome.
How'd that feel?
You'll see.
Hi.
Greg, right?
Yeah. I've been praying for this moment since I first met you. Have you decided?
I don't know.
You want to decide right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And pray with me.
Lord Jesus,
I know I'm a sinner.
Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner.
But you are the Savior of the world.
You a Savior of the world.
I ask you to come into my life.
I ask you to come into my life.
I repent for my sins.
I repent from all my sins.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and friend.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and my friend.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Greg,
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have to decide for yourself. Are you ready for a Jesus revolution? Are you desperate? Are you desperate enough to follow Jesus? Greg Laurie was. He let go of his past life. He let go of his comfort. He let go of his fear. And when he did, he not only experienced a revolution, he joined a revolution. The revolution that started with Jesus continued to Lonnie and Chuck, and it sparked a movement for that generation that continues to echo today. Chuck Smith mentored Greg, and they worked together to keep seeing people discover new life in Jesus. Eventually, Chuck helped Greg begin to pastor his own church. And from there, through Greg's ministry, thousands upon thousands have decided they were desperate enough to finally follow Jesus. And friend, it's still happening today. In fact, while they were filming this movie on the beach for the baptism scene, the director and producers could not explain what they were experiencing.
The photography in the Time magazine was at Pirate's Cove, and we felt it was important to go back to that relocation.
Yeah, there were some beautiful, like, honest moments of people wanting to be baptized in that setting, and there's literally cameras rolling in our movie, and people are really being baptized.
I've never felt the kind of spiritual power filming anything in my career. It was very real for several people. I do remember Jonathan coming on the water, and he's like, this is, like, real for me. I think I'm doing it right. And even while we were filming, Jonathan and Joel in that scene baptizing, Lonnie baptizing Greg, Greg Laurie was baptizing a cast member without even knowing it because they just struck up a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so it was worth going to that sort of, you know, origin of a movement 50 years ago in hopes that it can happen.
And the revolution can continue with you. Friend, what would it take to have a Jesus revolution in your life? What would it take to have a Jesus revolution in Okolona, in Hillview, in Shepherdsville, in Louisville? A Jesus revolution at OCC. Could it happen again? Only if there is that same desperation again. And for some of us, our revolution means being willing to get uncomfortable. Maybe you've been a Christian for years, but too often we choose our comfort over our neighbor's desperation, over a Jesus revolution. But we need to be like that older church member who crossed the aisle to a different set of pews. Maybe we need to cross the street to meet a neighbor. Maybe we need to cross our community and serve another neighborhood, or cross the world to serve another culture. How desperate are we to help people discover Jesus? For some of you, I really believe your Jesus revolution begins today. You're here, but you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and been baptized. Do you remember what Chuck said? It's not something to be explained. It's something to be experienced. And we want to give you a chance to experience it today. And we are ready with everything you need. It all starts with going all in with Jesus, with belief, and turning in a new direction, and expressing your faith through baptism. That's what baptism is, a public declaration of our decision to follow Jesus. And I want so badly for you today to experience that. Some of you have never made this decision, and there is no better time than today, right now, this moment. Maybe, like Greg Laurie, you have tried a lot of different things to find freedom. Sex or drugs, or relationship after relationship, or you're chasing money and success, and yet you are still desperate. Desperate for hope and joy and peace and love? Are you desperate enough to let it all go and choose Jesus today? You see, baptism represents the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And when we go down into the water, we are choosing to die to our old self, just like Jesus died. And when we come up out of the water, we are choosing a new life found only in Jesus. It's a revolutionary act, but it's one that you can make today. So I want to give you the opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus and be baptized today. We're ready for you. We've been praying for you. I love the words spoken to the Apostle Paul when he surrendered his life to Jesus and was baptized. Ananias said to him, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on the name of Jesus." Friend, let me ask you that same question. What are you waiting for? Today is the day to get up, to be baptized, having your sins washed away. I invite you to bow your head now. Let's all bow our heads, because I know God is moving. I know God is stirring in this place today. And it's time for a Jesus revolution in your life, in all of our lives. And if you want to make this decision, I'm just going to ask you right now to silently pray this prayer that Greg prayed when he said yes to Jesus. You can pray after me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. You are the Savior of the world. I ask you to come into my life. I repent of my sins, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. So right now, I want to ask everyone to stand, and we're going to sing. And if this is what you want to do today, just come forward, grab your shirt, and our team will be here to direct you from there as we celebrate a Jesus revolution in your life and in this place today.